From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more. On today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, we present a previously recorded episode of the Hank Unplugged podcast. Hank's guest is Dr. Clay Jones, author of Immortal: How the Fear of Death Drives Us and What We Can Do About It. Here now is Hank Hanegraaff.
And welcome to another edition of the Hank Unplugged podcast. Today we have a very significant podcast. I mean, they've all been significant, but this one in particular, because this one focuses on how you can be freed from the fear of death. In fact, how the fear of death explains much of what we do and explains the majority of what we experience in our culture. And we're also going to examine how secular attempts to overcome the fear of death ultimately fail miserably, and that the ultimate failure of all secular attempts to eliminate the fear of death leads only to denial and distraction and depression, drugs, ultimately to societal disintegration. My guest for today's podcast, you've heard him on the podcast before. His name is Clay Jones. He's a longtime contributing writer to the Christian Research Journal. In fact, he's the author of my all-time favorite journal article on the problem of suffering and evil, that article titled, Why Did God Let That Child Die? You can find it on the web at equip.org. Also, he's written articles such as Killing the Canaanites, Sci-Fi, Free Will, and the Problem of Evil. And he's the author of a book titled, Why Does God Allow Evil? And the book I want to focus on today, Immortal, How the Fear of Death Drives Us and What We Can Do About It. And I'd like to welcome you, Clay, to the Hank Unplugged podcast.
Thank you, Hank. It's always an honor to be with you, so thank you.
You're welcome. I loved your book. And by the way, for those who stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth, you can get a copy on the web at equip.org. It's available for those, again, who support this ministry prayerfully and financially. You can find it on the web at equip.org or write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. I want to get right into this, but as I was thinking about this morning, I thought of a quote by St. John Chrysostom. It's in a book that I just wrote a foreword to. On Wealth and Poverty is the title of the book. And in this book, Chrysostom says, in Luke 16, Jesus tells the parable of a rich man and a poor beggar lying by his gate. And in doing so, Jesus teaches us not to call the rich lucky, nor the poor unfortunate. Rather, if we're to tell the truth, the rich man is not the one who collected many possessions, but the one who needs few possessions. And the poor man is not the one who had few possessions, but the one who had many desires. We have to consider this, the definition of wealth and poverty. Often indeed, one of those who are rich in this life turns out to be the poorest of all in the other life, even like this rich man. For when evening took him, that is to say death, and that's the subject of today's podcast, when he departed from the theater of this present life and put aside his mask, he was revealed as the poorest of all in that other world. So poor indeed that he was not master even of a drop of water, but had to beg for this and did not even obtain it by begging. What could be poorer than this poverty? In this podcast, we're going to talk about the masks that we live by. The mask of riches, oftentimes concealing the fact that we may truly be the poorest of all. Again, this podcast is about how you can be freed from the fear of death and what people do to mask that fear. And I suppose, Clay, this is one of the most important books you've ever written because it deals with arguably the most important subject we could possibly discuss.
Yeah, honestly, Hank, this surprised me immensely. And what got me going in it is I read a quote by Paris philosopher Luc Ferry, and he says, all of philosophy is about overcoming our fear of death without God. And when I read that, I went, I didn't know that. I don't consider myself a philosopher, but I have a bachelor's in philosophy, and I thought, I've never heard that. And so then I went on a quest to start seeing if other philosophers said the same thing, and indeed, that's what Plato says. That's what Arthur Schopenhauer thinks. That's what Michel de Montaigne said, and on. All these guys are all saying that philosophy is about dealing with death. And so as I began to get into it, it was amazing to me to find out how people really, really, really do fear death. And so anyway, it was just stunning to me. And then I began to read psychologists and anthropologists and sociologists and philosophers about how to handle the fear of death. And it was amazing to me now to see how rampant people are bringing up the fear of death and how now, ever since Ernest Becker published his groundbreaking book, The Denial of Death, in 1973, he says, you know, I mean, the fear of death is driving much human behavior, as you said.
I love that point. I mean, you point out in the book that the quest for salvation without God is at the heart of every philosophical system. And I was thinking about that in light of the words of the Apostle Paul in Hebrews chapter 2, where he tells us that Jesus died in order to break the mastery of him who holds the power of death, and then to free those who were all their lives held captive or held in slavery by the fear of death. So I thought we'd talk for a moment about having a good appreciation of how non-Christians fear death and how that gives us a greater compassion for those who are without Christ and without that hope.
Yeah, it's amazing to me. The oldest known fiction, the Epic of Gilgamesh, which they think is somewhere around 2500 BC, it is about King Gilgamesh and his fevered quest to find eternal life. And at one place he says, how can I rest? How can I be at peace? He says, despair is in my heart. I'm afraid of death. I didn't put this in the book because I just saw this recently. Reese Witherspoon is talking to Nicole Kidman, and Nicole Kidman said to her, do you ever think about dying, Reese? Because I think about it all the time. You know, Arnold Schwarzenegger says, I'm really, you know, ticked off. I won't use the word he actually used. I'm really ticked off about death. You know, Katy Perry, there's an interview that I mentioned in my book. I tell people where to find it. She says, you know, I'm really afraid of death, actually, too. I'm afraid that I'll be 80 one day and everyone will just be passed on and I'll just be waiting. And then she lets out this whimper, this cry. And it's just amazing to me. I think the average person, people don't realize it. As I was writing this book, people would say, so what are you working on? And I'd say, well, I'm writing a book about how the fear of death drives us and what we can do about it. And it didn't matter who they were, but the overwhelming majority of people would immediately blurt out, I'm not afraid of death. I mean, it was a proclamation. I'm not afraid of death. And I don't think they're lying. I don't think they're being entirely dishonest. I think the truth of the matter is, in a sense, they're not afraid of death because they don't think about it. They don't think about it at all, not at all. They distract themselves from the fear of death as much as they possibly can. And so, sure, yeah, so in a sense, yeah, they're not, because they're not aware of it. But as Stanford psychiatry professor Irving Yalom put it, he says, the fear of death is always there, whirring softly, almost inaudibly, scratching at some inner door. And I think that Yalom is correct. It's always there. And one more quote. Sheldon Solomon and Jeff Greenberg and Tom Pruszynski wrote that if humans had an ongoing awareness of their vulnerability and mortality, they'd be twitching blobs of biological protoplasm completely perfused with anxiety and unable to effectively respond to the demands of their immediate surroundings. I think that's true. People are terrified of it, but they enter into denial and distraction, and that's how they're dealing with it. Is they're just, no, I'm not. Whoa, I got to turn on the TV. You know, I got to look at social media, so they just keep it out of their minds. But they're actually, everybody is actually afraid of it. But I'll tell you when they become afraid of it, when they find a lump someplace, or they get a positive back on a blood test, or they, you know, something like, have a chest pain. And when that happens, death stands in front of them and it won't leave the room.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. I mean, I read one of the quintessential thanatologists talking about how we drive death into the closet, how we cover it with clever cliches. But for you, what you're writing about is not merely academic. It's something that you have experienced in the real live cauldron of death. Because at one point, you were diagnosed with bone cancer, and there was a lapse of time in which you thought that that was terminal.
Don't go away. In just a few moments, we'll rejoin Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with Dr. Clay Jones. Most people, whether they admit it or not, are afraid of death. Those who live without Christ, and all too often, even those in Christ, attempt to manage that fear by trying to live forever in their own power, literally or symbolically. We can all be free of the fear of death once we realize the abundant, glorious eternity that awaits everyone who trusts in Jesus. Immortal by Clay Jones will help you conquer the fear of death and awaken you to the joyous reality of genuine immortality. To receive your copy of Immortal, How the Fear of Death Drives Us and What We Can Do About It, call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org.
Is there life after death? For many people, the prospect of death is terrifying. They try to live as long as possible, hoping that science will find a way to extend their lives. Most of us are in denial about death. What if the solution is not denying death's reality, but recognizing it and relishing the reality that, as followers of Jesus Christ, we will live fantastically forever? In his book, Immortal, Clay Jones explores the ways people face death and highlights the truth that God offers a path to our deepest longing, glorious resurrection to eternal life. To receive your copy of Immortal, How the Fear of Death Drives Us and What We Can Do About It, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
The Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition Revised and Updated is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.
www.thehope.org.
Let's rejoin Hank Hanegraaff and Dr. Clay Jones in their conversation.
For you, what you're writing about is not merely academic. It's something that you have experienced in the real, live cauldron of death. Because at one point, as you write about in your book, you were diagnosed with bone cancer, and there was a lapse of time in which you thought that that was terminal.
Well, yes, they sent me for a biopsy. And the biopsy diagnosed me as having the same cancer that took the life of Ravi Zacharias, a very deadly cancer. And so there was a couple of weeks there where I thought, you know, in fact, my orthopedic oncologist said, if this is the kind of cancer you have, we're not going to take it out. We'll just start you on chemo. And if it shrinks the tumor, we might decide to operate. And I'm just, you know, of course, I'm sitting there going, this is a death sentence. And so, yeah, surely I did face it. And I'm going to say something, Hank, that I think a lot of people were balk at. I know they kind of say that can't be the case. I wasn't afraid of the state of being dead. I wasn't. I wasn't afraid of dying. I was not afraid of dying. Now, let me be clear. I was afraid of leaving my wife. We don't have kids. And I sat there and went, what's she going to do? And that was scary to me. But I was not afraid of the state of being dead because I knew where I was going. But yeah, I think I have definitely faced death. And it's an interesting experience. I just emphasize to all your listeners, you don't have to fear death. And my book actually goes through how you can do that, how you don't have to fear death. And so anyway, yeah, absolutely.
That's interesting. I had a similar experience. Of course, I was diagnosed 3 years ago with stage 4 mantle cell lymphoma. And I've been fighting that for quite a number of years and completely cancer-free as we speak. But it was certainly an opportunity to see whether or not I feared death. And I remember the first thing that happened when I thought this was terminal. The minute I heard stage 4, I thought, well, you're not going to survive stage 4. So I sort of tuned out the conversation between the oncologist and my wife, and I was thinking about, do I have enough time to finish the book that I'm writing, because it was the most important book to me. Of course, your last book is always the most important book. But I wanted to finish that book, and so I was thinking, I wonder if I have enough time to finish that book. And so when I tuned back into the conversation, I said, what happens if I don't take chemo? Because that's what the oncologist was talking about and forwarding at that time. And he said, you're going to be dead within 6 months. So I was, in my mind, thinking, well, that might give me enough time to finish the book. And then he realized that I thought that I had a terminal condition and that there was no way out. And he said, well, this isn't necessarily terminal. A lot of people die of it, but it's not necessarily terminal. But at any rate, I had the same experience that you write about in the book. I mean, there are a couple of things I thought about immediately. What will be the condition of my family and my ministry without me?
Right.
And what will I leave undone in my life?
Exactly. That's exactly. That's my concern. And as I write in the book, that's not an illegitimate concern. And I love where Paul says, for me to depart and be with Christ, that's much better. But if I stay for your account, he says, that's good. And he says, I'm going to stay for you. That actually, and so it's not like there's no reason for not wanting to die. Paul actually gave one right there in that passage. He says, it's better for you if I stay. And I felt like, and if the Lord took me home, then she would have to deal with it, and we understood this, but I felt like, you know, I'm ministering, and I've got a wife that I want to care for. At the time, I was only 47 years old, and I thought, you know, I mean, I don't want to leave her alone. Like I said, we didn't have kids. And so it's not illegitimate to not want to die. But I guess what I'm always emphasizing to people, but I wasn't afraid of the state of being dead, because as my wife recently put it in a video she did, there's three stages to eternal life, and you and I right now are in stage 1. Stage 2 is when our body dies, and then we're disembodied spirits in heaven. And then stage 3 is at the resurrection, and we get glorified bodies. But we are in eternal life right now. And I was lying in bed one day and staring at the ceiling, waking up too early in the morning. I'm not a morning person. And I'm staring at the ceiling, and I was thinking about the book I was writing. I was thinking about death, and I thought about my own death. And I thought, you know, I'm not afraid of dying. And that gave me a lot of comfort. And in fact, I thought, yeah, I'm not afraid of it anymore. It's no more of a bother to me than thinking that I needed to turn on the sprinklers today. And I think the Christian can actually, I know, in fact, the Christian can actually get to that point. You do not have to fear death.
What was interesting, among the many things interesting in your book, is the fact that if we came up with a cure for cancer and we're spending trillions of dollars to do that, our lives would only extend on average another 2 or so years.
Yeah, 2.265 years longer. If they cured every form of cancer, you'd only live a measly 2.265 years longer. I think people have got this hope that one of these days science is going to do what it's always supposed to do. And by that they mean, you know, we're going to be able to live forever. But that's just simply not going to happen. It will not happen. And honestly, we're all going to have Alzheimer's and dementia if we don't die of something else first. I mean, that's basically the way the human life goes.
Yeah, so the extra years aren't necessarily so wonderful. You had some kind of an explanation of that. I mean, you're sitting in nursing homes and kind of the desperate position that you're in during that extra period of time that you're trying to eke out of your life. It was sort of depressing because I actually experienced that with my mother. My dad died when he was 74. My mother died at 93. But she went through the process of dementia. And it was really tough because she was witty and she was wise and she was a lot of fun. And then suddenly you'd have to tell her who you were because she couldn't remember who you were. And to see that agonizing end, in some ways, I wondered if my dad's translation into eternity wasn't a more humane, so to speak, translation into eternity. Although my dad always told me every moment is precious.
Right. Every moment's precious as we honor God in our lives today. Every moment is precious. We have an opportunity to do something for Jesus. I look forward. You know, of course, I want the Lord to return. That's how I want to go. But I look forward to the Lord's return, or I do. Honestly, there's part of me that looks forward to dying. Now, I want to take care of my wife. That's for sure. And I want to minister as long as I have the opportunity. But I look forward to being in the kingdom. And I like how Dallas Willard put it. He says, when you die, it may take you a few minutes to realize that you're dead. You may not realize you've died until you look back and see that your body's in a mangled car or you're lying on an operating table or something like that. I think that's true. I think that's why Jesus says that in him we will not experience death. Well, Jesus, of course, wasn't living in denial, but what he means by that is your consciousness is never going to cease. It's not going to be like a computer that needs to reboot. Your consciousness will never cease. You'll never experience death in that sense. Your consciousness is not going to turn off for a while and then turn back on.
Yeah, and that's why I started out with this particular quote by John Chrysostom, which means John of the Golden Mouth.
Right.
I mean, he was an absolute brilliant orator, and that's why I just wrote a foreword to a book that's in a patristic series that includes On Wealth and Poverty. But I'm always taken by Christ's parable in Luke chapter 16, where you have a rich man who is experiencing all the luxuries of life, and then there's a pearl in the mud lying by his gate.
Right.
And the moment that they both die, they're in inverse conditions. And it really highlights the fact that what we do now counts for all eternity, and how important it would have been for that rich man not to simply pass the pearl in the mud, but rather minister to the needs of the pearl in the mud. I'm talking, of course, of Lazarus. Minister to him at least as much as the dogs were doing by licking his sores. So it's so important that we take stock of our lives, that we use the resources and the gifts that God has given us for his glory and for the extension of his kingdom, because again, at death, everything changes. Lazarus is in the bosom of Abraham, and the rich man is in torment.
Right, exactly. And so when people say to me, sometimes Christians will go, oh, yeah, I don't fear death. I say, yes, if you have a robust belief of eternal life in Jesus, you don't need to fear death. I have to say, though, most of the people that say, I don't fear death, most of the Christians really don't have a robust view of eternal life in Jesus. And so they'll say, I don't fear death. And then they just change the conversation. Because what you need to not fear death is, as I said, a robust view of eternal life in Jesus, that I really am going to live forever.
So kind of interesting, earlier on you talked about these three phases. You talked about life, life after life, and then life after life after life.
That's right.
In the resurrection. So you talk about these three phases, and what I was always fascinated by, I wrote a book on resurrection, and then I wrote a book titled Afterlife. And I'm always fascinated by the fact that people in general don't know about what happens when they die. They don't know that there's this intermediate phase that you go through where you're disembodied prior to the time that Jesus returns a second time and you receive a glorified, immortal, imperishable body.
Well, we've run out of time for today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Be sure to tune in again next time when we'll continue Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with Dr. Clay Jones. In appreciation for your vital gift to help strengthen and expand the life-changing outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, Hank would like to send you Immortal, How the Fear of Death Drives Us and What We Can Do About It by Dr. Clay Jones. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The preceding program was pre-recorded. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more.
In recent years, fewer Americans pray, trust in God, believe in the Bible, or attend church. But paradoxically, Americans have become more likely to believe in an afterlife. One explanation is the rise in entitlement, expecting special privileges without effort. Tell a generation they are good, unrelated to their behavior or performance, and they will think they should be able to live forever, regardless of how they act or believe. Clay Jones wrote Immortal to explain the truth that we will live forever, but our destination is determined by our relationship with Christ and in Him how we live our lives. To receive your copy of Immortal, How the Fear of Death Drives Us and What We Can Do About It, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.